there is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. It's been the ruin of many a poor boy. God, I know I'm one. I wish I were going to New Orleans this weekend. The San Francisco 49ers are going to New Orleans this weekend, and it's a big weekend with Mac Jones leading the way. Welcome to Damon Bruce Plus. It's wonderful to have you here. Thanks so much for coming on by today. Thank you for hitting like. Thank you for hitting subscribe. Thank you for maybe becoming a member and checking out some merch. It is really great to have you here. We are going to waste zero time this Friday during this live stream. We're going to get you ready for what's coming up. Not only for the 49ers this weekend, but what's going to be on your TV this weekend, where you got to have your mind this weekend. It's a big weekend. It's week two in the NFL. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are, as always, brought to you by Ike Sandwiches. By the way, Ike has a house in New Orleans. Well, he's got a restaurant in New Orleans. Well, I think an apartment above it that he stays in. So if you are heading to New Orleans and you need a little something to remind you that you're from the West Coast, if that's where you are from, grab an Ike sandwich in New Orleans. There is one there. There is one all over the West Coast. And hopefully there'll be one near you soon enough. My man Ike's is something delicious just waiting for you at one of his restaurants. You go find out for yourself how great his sandwiches are. And if you're wondering, where do I start? Start with the Damon Bruce, baby. I am delicious. By the way, our good friends at the Dubliner in West Portal, always great to have you aboard. Wonderful sponsors, and we will be getting together hopefully with you on October 4th at 4:20. It is the Saturday after that Thursday nighter between the 49ers and Rams. So we hope to see you there at the Dubliner. And while you're getting ready for week two, get ready with our good friends at Sleeper, who are again now sponsors here on Damon Bruce Plus. You think you know football? Then try to turn your football knowledge into real money with the Sleeper app, the ultimate fantasy sports app right now. That can turn game day into payday for you. Just download the Sleeper app, pick more or less on your favorite players. You tie them together. You can win up to 1,000 times your money with the picks if they come in. On the Sleeper app, use promo code Damon and you will get $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. Click on the link right at the top of the description of this video and sign up for Sleeper with the promo code Damon. It is great having you here. We've got our business handled. We've got our logo up, which means it's officially time to talk about what the 49ers are walking into. And what they're walking into is a stress test. You know, before any product goes to market, whether it be a car, a purse, a wallet, a pair of sneakers, they get put through stress tests. You know, they are poked and prodded and manipulated and, you know, oh, we got this chair that I'm sitting on right here. I'm sure in some factory had a 30-pound bowling ball dropped on it from 20 stories up 300 different times to see if it could survive that. These are stress tests for products to see, have I got a quality product? Is this made correctly? Is it built correctly? That's what stress tests test. Well, this is certainly a stress test for the San Francisco 49ers. It's a stress test of their ability to play with a backup quarterback. It's an ability to play with a very young defense. It's an ability to play behind an offensive line that leaves, you know, a little for the imagination. It's the ability to have to go out there and play with definitely not your number one wide receivers dotting the action. It is a stress test of decisions made by this front office. It is a stress test of how this team evaluates quarterbacks. It's also a test of what did Kyle Shanahan really, really want? And one of the things that I was talking about this morning with Kruger on Wake Up is no matter how this goes, I can see a headache being the only thing awaiting the 49ers at the end of the road. Like, let's say you lose. Well, that's a headache right into itself. Let's say you win and Mac Jones looks fantastic. Let's say Mac Jones looks incredible. Well, that's going to be a little bit of a headache too, because everyone's going to say, well, then why'd you pay Brock all that money if you can get Brock level performances out of just the next guy up, the next guy up? I don't think that that's actually as available as some Brock detractors think. I think that Kyle Shanahan's really good at preparing any quarterback to be successful in a moment, but then stringing those moments together one after another after another. Only Brock's really been able to do that. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we might be able to learn, and this is one of the things that I learned on Wake Up today, a stat that Kruger had was that, you know, the 49ers give up way too many pressures, but they also, as an offensive line, are very much in the middle of the pack of sacks. Brock is great at escaping pressure. Brock's mobility probably makes an offensive line you're already not very impressed with a little bit better statistically. And with Mac Jones back there being a bit statuesque, how is that going to look? Job number one for any passing play this weekend in New Orleans is Mac Jones has got to get that ball out. Capital F-A-S-T. I'm talking about wicked fast. Now, Mac's career started in New England. You got to get the ball out wicked fast. He's not going to have the time, and he doesn't have the mobility to buy himself more time. So any passing play, that ball's got to come out quick. But there should be a 2-to-1 ratio of running plays to passing plays because the number one way to find a win in the Big Easy is on the ground. It's like a $20 bill just laying there on the ground for you in the French Quarter. Somebody drop this. Go pick it up. The Saints are historically, and as a matter of fact, in real time right now, bad against the run. They are bad against the run. The same game plan that brought you to victory in Seattle is basically what the 49ers need in New Orleans. Just prevent Alvin Kamara from going bonkers. Shut down Chris Olave. I'm looking at you, D'Amador Lenore and Renardo Green. Make sure Cam Jordan doesn't go off. And that could be a win for the San Francisco 49ers. This could be a little bit, I don't say easy or in the bag or blowout potential, but the Niners, even with Mac Jones, I think can go into New Orleans and still look like a really good football team. Now, does that mean they're a really good football team? I don't know. Now, Symmetry Allowed is saying, hey, not trying to be a doomer, but Mac Jones has been pretty bad in recent years. Lots of costly turnovers. That's why he's here. Didn't work out in New England. Didn't work out in Jacksonville. Now he's here to reclaim what he thinks is his and, you know, got lost in the shuffle of playing for bad football teams. Now he's on a good football team with a good football coach who knows how to groom quarterbacks. This is a big opportunity for Mac Jones to put himself on the map to be this offseason Sam Darnold, where he plays well enough to where some team is going to say, all right, this is going to be either, you know, our next quarterback or at least the bridge to get us to our next quarterback. There's an awful lot to play for here for Mac Jones. He's been in bad situations, and you're right. He can get careless with the ball. He can get loosey-goosey with that football. He can't. Like, if you're asking, how did the Niners lose this game? Mac Jones threw two interceptions is how the 49ers lose this game. Sloppy play, putting the ball on the ground, turning it over. That's going to invite the Saints to win this game. So don't send that invitation. Be careful with the ball. Get it out fast. Don't ask Mac Jones to be a hero at all. And we'll see if he tries to actually go a little hero ball. He does throw a decent deep ball. Will any Niner, Ricky Pearsall, be able to get open deep? You know, Kittle's a little bit of a deep threat. He won't be involved. Are they going to go 12 personnel with an awful lot of Farrell and Tungus both out there at the same time? They got to protect Mac. They got to get the ball out fast, and they got to commit to this running game. I'm looking at you, Christian McCaffrey and Brian Robinson Jr. By the way, you think the Commanders got a little traitor's remorse on trading Brian Robinson Jr.? This morning, the Commanders learned that Austin Eckler tore his ACL last night in Green Bay. Oops. Again, you're so close to being inside of a football season. Why you start trading players away that could help your team should something go wrong? I don't know why teams do it. Again, I don't know how, you know, it's Mac Jones and Adrian Martinez. I mean, how did that guy come into the fold, right? How did that guy end up here on this team when all offseason, all preseason, all training camp, as I was saying on Wake Up, it's like every single 49er player can fit into this circle, right? All the players are in this circle that you go through training camp with, that are on your practice squad, that are on your regular season roster. They're all in this circle. But whenever something goes wrong inside of this circle, the 49ers don't seek their answers from within this circle. It's always a player from outside the circle. Like, why? How come if all these players on outside the circle are so important to you, how come none of them are at training camp? How come none of them are actually being used and groomed by you? And the guys that you are using and grooming to get you through training camp and practices and all these things and all the Tanner Mordecai man hours and practice reps that you put into that guy are rendered just meaningless. It is weird. It is very odd. Again, one thing that could be weird is what if Mac Jones comes in and plays so well that Kyle starts thinking, can I go further with Mac Jones? I don't even want to get into that. I really don't. I don't think the 49er fan base is prepared to handle that. A world in now which, you know, people who don't like Brock Purdy to begin with have even more ammunition to think he's the wrong guy for the job when he's shown time after time after time after time that he's probably the right guy for the job. But let's see what Mac Jones can do here. It could be a little bit of a disruptor. For sure. By the way, Michael Chan has been a member now for 20 months. That's coming up on 2 years, brother. Thank you so much for supporting the channel with a membership. Said, just got to trust Kyle. He's realistic about his expectations with backup quarterbacks. They're not meant to be long-term solutions. Yeah, I mean, a backup quarterback is meant to be your long-term solution. And look, I mean, you know, it's not like Brock Purdy's season is in peril here. They said a couple of weeks. But turf toes can be tricky. I hope it's not tricky. By the way, West Side just saying, go Niners, dropping some love and a super. Thank you very much, West Side. Appreciate you so very, very much. Like and subscribe if you will. Turf toe variant. It's like we're going through COVID again. COVID variants, a turf toe variants. I didn't know there was turf toe variants. I thought turf toe was a light switch. It was either you had it or you didn't. Are there degrees to turf toe? Apparently so. I guess there are degrees to all injuries. Fuji coming in here saying, hey, Damon, just hoping for a win with no injuries. Imagine that. I don't even know if that's available to the 49ers, an injury-free football game. When is the last time the 49ers played a football game, announced nobody got hurt, and then on Monday, they're not declaring somebody going to the IR, even though the day before they're like, hey, nobody got hurt, but then somebody does get hurt all the time. Let's see if they can make it through a week. Let's see if they can get out of New Orleans unscathed. That would be incredible. I mean, really, it would be incredible. It would be rare. It is weird. It is weird. By the way, shed no tears for now waived kicker Jake Moody. Jake Moody's been signed by the Chicago Bears. So bear down and have fun with that, Chicago. He won't even kick for them. Interesting week for the NFC West. Interesting week two. Obviously, 49ers in New Orleans with even their backup quarterback in play, a winnable football game. The Seahawks are at the Steelers this weekend. I like the Steelers in this game. I don't like any West Coast team flying all the way to the East Coast for the most part, unless you're just a monster. I don't think Seattle's ready to be a monster right now. They've got going to be a better football team in the second half of this season than they are in the first half of this season. I think written all over them. Seahawks-Steelers is happening this weekend, and Aaron Rodgers is one touchdown away from tying Brett Favre for fourth on the all-time passing touchdowns list. If he throws for two, he'll occupy fourth all by himself behind Brady, Breeze, and Peyton Manning. Right now, Brett Favre is at 508 career touchdown passes. Aaron Rodgers is at 507. So you know Aaron's going to want to, you know, hi, everybody. I'm your new quarterback playing my first ever game here in Pittsburgh. Let's start off our relationship with a nice little me climbing up the all-time touchdowns list game. I can see Aaron Rodgers doing that. I can also see the Green Bay Packers just being a problem all season long. They were really good last night. The Commanders are pretty good, and the Green Bay Packers dispatched them without much of a headache. Packers looked really good. Now, they did lose wide receiver Jaden Reed to a broken collarbone, so he's going to be out a really long time. But they still have a ton of wide receivers. I mean, they got wide receivers everywhere. Packers are good. And Micah Parsons really might be the straw that stirs that drink defensively. I think the Packers have allowed their fewest rushing yards through two games in like the history of the Green Bay Packers. They are playing really well. So there's a team to keep an eye on. Rest of the West, though, you got the Rams at the Titans. That feels very winnable for LA, but you never know. Maybe Cam Ward is ready to shock the world. Panthers at Cardinals. And again, as I was talking about earlier with Larry, thank God you don't have to watch that game, right? You could just get the updates from that one. There are two fan bases that actually have to wake up and watch that game. Panthers, Cardinals. There are so many good games in week two. There are so many big brand names out there and crown jewels doing battle against each other this week. It's a kind of a sexy little week here. Nothing sexy about Panthers and Cardinals. So, hey, go ahead, Carolina. Shock the world. Go and beat Arizona. But I got to like Arizona in that game. As we told you, this is an injury league. Austin Eckler tore his Achilles last night, done for the year. Do you think the Commanders have any trade regrets? Hey, that other running back is now in San Francisco. Could have probably used him. Historically, you never want the ratio of games played and players-only meetings to be 1-to-1, but that's what they got down in Miami. Right now, Mike McDaniel, it doesn't appear that he is ticketed to make it to Halloween. I mean, you can feel the venom for the Miami Dolphins and Mike McDaniel out there in the world of just football analysis and covering, and it's open season right now on the freaking Dolphins, and it doesn't sound like Mike McDaniel is going to make it. And the first thing that I wonder there is, could that benefit the 49ers? Imagine if Mike McDaniel does get fired by Halloween. Any chance they pull the Robert Saleh and ask him to come on back into the mix? The guy is a brilliant play designer. He's just got a bad football team running his plays. So maybe that is a little boost for the 49ers at some point in time this year. Hey, even Mike McDaniel's back. They're getting the whole freaking band back together here. That would be something. By the way, can I go right now and bet on that on Sleeper? Can I get some Mike McDaniel action over on Sleeper? Can I do that right now? By the way, make sure you use promo code Damon. The link is in the description of this video, and have an awful lot of fun responsibly with you and your friends. You build a little community, have some fun over on Sleeper. Thanks so much for being a sponsor of the show. Giants and Dodgers. Oh my God. Let me tell you, this weekend here in San Francisco will either be the weekend that you have to lean back in into baseball because the Giants actually played well against the Dodgers, or you'll be able to push back and not really worry about a lot of out of town scoreboard watching. And I hope it happens. Go ahead, San Francisco Giants, make the end of this baseball season interesting. I dare you. I freaking dare you. Keep hitting the ball out of the infield just cause it's fun to do. And see if you actually have some success against the Dodgers this weekend. This is the fork in the road here. This will either be we're zooming back in on baseball season or we're pulling out. Got some college football coming up this weekend that I'm really looking forward to. First of all, Indiana gets the Friday Night Lights tonight. I'm not asking you to watch the game. This is one of those, like, you're going to make fun of Panthers and you're going to make fun of Panthers and Cardinals, but you're going to actually tell me to watch Indiana versus Indiana State. I don't even know Indiana State fielded a football team. Well, they do. And number 22, Indiana hosts them this evening. It's on Big Ten Network, a couple 2-0 teams. You want in-state rivalry? Well, this really isn't one. I mean, they're in-state schools, but they're hardly rivals. So kind of, sort of, enjoy. There'll be a very few group of people, and I'll be one of them watching this game tonight, but I'm in. The college football weekend otherwise, kind of interesting. You got a little Big Ten touching down in Berkeley, 2-0 Minnesota against 2-0 Cal. That game is going to be at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN on Saturday night. Stanford at 0-2 is hosting 1-1 Boston College. It feels like the least electric sporting event set up for this weekend, does it not? 0-2 Stanford hosting 1-1 Boston College. Does that get a rise out of anybody? Does that spark emotion in anyone? I mean, you better be named Murph or Sully and from Boston wearing a kilt if you're actually going to that game thinking like, oh man, I'm to Boston. I'm all about Boston College football. And they're here, and I've been living in the Bay Area for years. I've been waiting for my Eagles to get to Stanford. By the way, it's so weird, and it's so wrong that when I want to look up, you know, hey, who's Cal and Stanford playing this weekend? I have to click on ACC schedule. It's just weird. It'll never feel right. Some interesting games this weekend for sure, though. We got number 6 Georgia at number 16 Tennessee. We got number 18 South Florida at number 5 Miami. Number 16 Texas A&M at number 8 Notre Dame. And let me tell you, Alabama Tuscaloosa is hosting the hot seat special. 2-0 Wisconsin is at 0-1, but 19th ranked Alabama. Coach DeBoer, you need a win in front of your home crowd in Tuscaloosa over a 2-0 Wisconsin team. That's going to be a very stressful game for everybody involved in Tuscaloosa. We got our pal Larry Krueger flying into New Orleans tonight. He's going to the Saints game this weekend. He and Kevin are going to be going to LSU, Florida and Death Valley tomorrow night. God, I wish I could tag along for that trip just to go to the LSU game. Forget about being in the Superdome. I mean, that's fun. It's really cool. By the way, if you've never been in the Superdome, you've never seen a ceiling like that in your life. Like, that dome is the biggest thing you have ever seen in your life. I think it holds a world record for square footage of dome. That ceiling is amazing in the Superdome. It is a cool building. It is. It's aged well. They put a lot into it, especially since post-Katrina. They've invested a lot of money in that Superdome, but it's awesome. It really is. New Orleans is great. One of the best places in the world to spend a weekend. You can have so much fun in New Orleans. You can get in trouble in New Orleans, too. So mind your manners if you're on your way. Anybody here in the chat going? 510 Steve just saying, hey, man, it's called the Superdome. It better be big. It is. It officially is. We got Otis saying the Superdome is pretty cool. It was just there a couple months ago for a church-related event. Must have been a big church-related event if you needed to do it in the Superdome. Steve also says, hey, man, it's can't measure teams when it's Thursday night. Usually one or both teams are garbage. And last night, the Commanders were garbage. You know, I think that is a little bit of a factor as the season moves along and the fatigue of the NFL year really starts getting baked into the equation. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think that first Thursday night game or the second Thursday night game of the year in this case weighs on a team in such a, this is not how football acts in the regular season. How about this? 510 Steve, I think you'd have a really good point to make later in the year. I'm not applying it to week 2. How's Fernando Mendoza working out for Indiana, Damon? Look at it this way. It's working out well in Bloomington. I like what I see. Lots of improvement still to come. And if you're a Cal fan, I think you got to be thrilled with the situation that you find yourself in, too, with Sagapolatele. That guy, if you were a Cal fan, would you go back to Mendoza or would you like to continue on the path you're on? I would want to continue on the path that I were on. If I were a Cal fan, I got no remorse over Mendoza leaving the program now that you got this young freshman just killing it. Broadcast quality dropping again. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on again here. What the hell? Maybe it's time to invest in a new camera. Super. We're going to have to get those supers up if it's new camera time here on the Pluse. It should be a very fun weekend of college football. It should be a really fun weekend watching baseball because it's Giants and Dodgers. And then obviously Sunday, it's Niners. And whenever it's Niners, it's the biggest lean-in sporting event we have here on the West Coast. So It's going to be a really fun weekend. I'll tell you, too, there's just something out there that it might be a little on its surface boring, but to me, it's fascinating. Because we got a lot of adults in the room, and you're not some kids who need to be, you know, lured in by something sexy to think it's interesting. Let me just tell you, what's going on right now with the Clippers is fascinating. It's fascinating. The Clippers, the Kawhi Leonard no-show job, the Pablo Torre investigation into all of this, the way that Torre rolled out information so the Clippers would come out and offer their plausible deniability, why they're not responsible. And then once they pin themselves to a story, Pablo Torre comes back out and tells the rest of the story, which just shoots torpedoes in the holes of the defense that the Clippers were trying to offer up for themselves in the Steve Ballmer, Ramona Shelburne interview that happened after this story went public. To catch you up real quick, Pablo Torre says, I've got paper trail that shows that the Clippers invented a fake company in which to pay Kawhi Leonard to be an endorser of, and this is them circumventing the salary cap. And Steve Ballmer comes out and says, no. First of all, there are big moneyed endorsement deals that players are signing all over the place all the time. So this is not that. But I was an investor in this company. But I was taken advantage of. I'm the one who got conned by less than scrupulous businessmen. So I pulled my money out. They filed for bankruptcy, and that's that. That's what Ballmer told to Ramona Shelburne. Basically said, hey, I understand how this could look a little funny from where you're sitting, but let me explain away from my side of the desk what really happened. Well, then Pablo Torre comes out and says, so after this company files for bankruptcy, Kawhi Leonard doesn't get a check. And so all of a sudden, somebody then wrote a check to this company that was turned around and written to Kawhi Leonard, even though their business had failed. Okay. Well, Steve Ballmer said, well, I'm not the guy who wrote that check. It wasn't me. And he was right. Steve Ballmer owns 99% of the Clippers. The guy who owns the other 1% is the guy who wrote the check. And that's what Pablo Torre came out with this week. And as Sam Quinn of CBS Sports wrote, and I agree with this completely, because now Adam Silver has to play the, you know, cerebral lawyer game. We can't use another journalist reporting. We now, as the NBA, have to conduct our own investigation into this. Well, let me tell you, Adam, Pablo Torre's done your homework for you. Sam Quinn of CBS Sports writes, the thought I keep coming back to in this Kawhi scandal, if everything Pablo Torre reported isn't enough to warrant a substantial punishment, that means cap circumvention is basically unprovable. And if that's the case, I would imagine that that emboldens other bad actors to circumvent. This is an NBA story. But what if it's just the tip of the iceberg? What if it's bigger than just an NBA story? What if this is actually something that were happening in football too? And there's a way to cook books, to throw people off, even if they get onto your paper trail, a level of plausible deniability, and you cannot prove in court what intentions were, so therefore you can't get me? What if that's what's in play here? And I'm going to tell you, all the billionaires that own teams now didn't become billionaires, didn't become incredibly successful by not looking for loopholes and trying to jam as much of their success through a loophole that they've found as anything else. Rich men are competitive by nature. Rich men think they're above the law by nature. Steve Ballmer, one of the richest, most successful men of all time, buys into the NBA with a devil-may-care attitude. I'm building my own stadium. I am here to win and win big. And second place is no place I'll ever be comfortable. So we're going to skirt around a few things. And that happened. How often is it happening? What other sports is it happening in? I think we are at the tip of a brand new iceberg of a sports topic of cheating that we really had not found before Pablo Torre went in and started doing homework on this. I think it's fascinating personally. I really, really do. I think it's fascinating. Again, it's a paper trail. So I don't know how sexy it is, but it is fascinating. And you are right. Sportacus, follow the money. Michelle Haberman declaring shenanigans. And we got shenanigans, without a doubt. We got nanners going on here. The longer the story goes, the potential for penalty to grow. It really, really is. Yeah. Dude, Sam Presti fleeced the Clippers in the Paul George trade, which partially facilitated Oklahoma City's recent NBA title. Hey, this last NBA championship should be known as the Paul George Cup. The Pacers got to the championship, to the NBA Finals by trading Paul George, and Oklahoma City got to the NBA Finals by trading Paul George. If you didn't trade Paul George, you weren't in the NBA Finals this year. TG says, if the Clippers were clean, they would go after Pablo Torre so hard for defamation, and they aren't. They're guilty. Yeah, here's the thing. You are right. And this would be defamation. This wouldn't be slander. This wouldn't be liable. This would be a reporter printing something. So, I mean, it really, there is something major going on here. And now the burden falls upon Adam Silver to sack up and really go after a man who is nothing short of being the richest owner in his league. It's a little bit, you know, again, there's an investigation no commissioner really wants to happen. Like, oh, hey, go prove that Donald Sterling's a racist dickhead. Well, sure, that sounds like it's going to be fun. Let's do that. This is another thing entirely. This is messing with your own money and your own security and your league's own financial health. So, something's there. Something is there. Yeah, Steve Ballmer is worth $142 billion. How ridiculous. I don't know who the comedian was. It might have been Bill Burr, who basically says, so no one ever needs more than $1 billion. You're not going to spend more than $1 billion in your lifetime. And if you are, you're so irresponsible with your money. Like, you don't deserve it in the first. So once you become a billionaire, you should get a trophy that says, congratulations, you are a billionaire. You've made it to the highest conceivable, acceptable level of earning. And now every other dollar that you ever make beyond your billion, please give it to someone who could actually use it, because you're just stacking billions that'll never be used. Your family, your great, 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 great grandchildren will never even be able to tap into that 130th billion dollar that you have.
Damon, that's bad.
I don't know. I think hoarding is worse than generosity. Okay. What else have we got going on here? That's about it. This is one of those, like, I could keep on making shit up and keep going shows, or we could just say everything you need to know was just stuffed into the first 33 minutes of this Friday show. It's a fun Friday. You're trying to make it to happy hour. You're trying to get out of work a little bit early today. So let's just go ahead and hop into today's day in history, shall we? By the way, I forgot to write down the ages. I wrote down the list of everyone who's celebrating a birthday. For whatever reason, I forgot to write down their ages. But here's whose birthday it is today. Happy birthday to Sydney Sweeney and her titties. Having a birthday today. Shake them if you got them. Happy birthday to content creator Drewski. Like, that guy's all over the internet. He's all over NBA All-Star games. He's all over WrestleManias. That guy is omnipresent on my television. He's telling you to sign up for DraftKings. He's telling you which parlay to have. Drewski, as someone who I never even heard of 5 years ago, he's on my timeline all the time. Happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to Jennifer Hudson. Happy birthday to Yao Ming, who's one of the single largest human beings ever conceived of or born or walking the planet. If you've never seen, if you never got to see Yao Ming in person, you missed the circus. Like, that guy was unbelievable. Happy birthday to Hans Zimmer, who's a composer. You have definitely seen a movie that Hans Zimmer has done the music for. And happy birthday to comedian Louis C.K., who came as close to ruining his career, whipping his dick out in front of other comedians as you possibly can, yet recover from it. I guess if you're going to be a comedian who does inappropriate things, what you better be is very clever and funny. And no matter how you feel about Louis C.K., he remains clever and funny. Today is a really interesting day in television history. There's a lot of things that dot TV here coming up. But we start with the fact that a couple days ago, I told you for the very first time, a guy named Henry Hudson, an explorer for the Dutch East India Company, pulled into New York Harbor and started sailing up a body of water, which became the Hudson River. Well, today is the day that Henry Hudson really started exploring what would become the Hudson River all the way back in 1909. Today in 1910, Alice Stebbins Wells was hired as America's first actual female police officer in Los Angeles. Alice Stebbins Wells, the first female police officer hired by any police department. It happened in 1910 in Los Angeles. Later that afternoon, for the first time ever, a police cruiser's hubcaps were scraped during a parallel parking job. Sorry, I had to. Today in 1954, Lassie debuted on television. I told you it was a big day for TV. Lassie. How many people under the age of 30 even know what Lassie is or was anymore? The collie. I mean, the collies probably still enjoy greater celebrity in the dog world than they would have been afforded had not Lassie been a monster back in the 50s, right? Debuted today, CBS, 54. Timmy was in the well somewhere today in 1954. Little Timmy fell down a well in every fucking Lassie episode. And then Lassie would start barking in the well, and that would alert the local police that Timmy was in the well. Roll credits. You've just watched every episode of Lassie. Timmy's stuck in a well. Timmy's stuck in a refrigerator. Timmy's stuck in a bomb shelter. Timmy's stuck in a wood. Timmy's stuck in a tree. Timmy's stuck in a... Lassie's barking. Now we know. Today in 1965, the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show for the fourth time. A fourth time for the Beatles coming on the Ed Sullivan Show. They were a really big deal at that point in time. And then, let's see, today in 1966, the Monkees debuted on NBC. You know, the Monkees were really easy to point at and laugh at and say that's a cheap American Beatles help kind of ripoff. And it was. There are three, like, really good Monkee songs that are catchy. They got a couple of good songs. The Monkees really do. Hey, Hey, We're the Monkees, not necessarily even one of them. But, you know, the Monkees were there. were there. Today in 1970, a television band that might have even been more significant to you than the Monkees debuted on CBS Saturday Mornings. Josie and the Pussycats premiered today on CBS Saturday Mornings. Remember Josie and the Pussycats flying around space, meeting aliens, playing gigs? I used to think that show was hot. I watched Josie and the Pussycats as a kid. And then I watched the ripoff, the Hanna-Barbera ripoff that was Jabberjaws. Jabberjaws was like, so what we're going to do is we're going to take Josie and the Pussycats and we're going to take them out of outer space, but we're going to put them underwater. And they're going to play music with a shark who plays the drums. Jabberjaws. I mean, people who were coming up with cartoons in the 60s and 70s were clearly on LSD. And oh, by the way, speaking of that, today in 1970, LSD advocate Dr. Timothy Leary, who spent quite a bit of time getting his mail in San Francisco, escaped from a California prison and fled to Algeria. That's, for a guy who's known for tripping, that's got to be the greatest trip of his life. Again, I told you today was a great day for television history. Today in 1978, you have, in what is my mind, arguably the greatest TV half-hour sitcom theme song ever attached. Now, Hill Street Blues was really good, but that wasn't a half an hour. That was an hour-long drama. But in terms of sitcoms, I don't know if any TV show has ever had a better opening song than Taxi. Taxi premiered today in 1978 on ABC. Taxi holds up. Taxi is still hysterical. Taxi is still a great show. And the name of the theme of Taxi is actually called Angela's Theme. When this show is over, when this live stream is over, put Angela's Theme into your Sonos and listen to it. It's just so mellow and so cool. It's comforting. It's like, it's a song that sounds like a warm sip of hot cocoa. It's very reassuring. It's very gentle. It's very soothing. It's the opposite of the Monkees. It's just an instrumental. It's just a little instrumental. Freaking loved Taxi. Cheers did have a great theme song. Very catchy. There's no denying that. I'm going to tell you, I think Parks and Recs has a great theme song. It sets the tone well for it. But I really, if you had to like gun to my head, what is the greatest television show theme song of all time? It's got to be The Sopranos. You got yourself a gun. Blue Moon, got yourself. That song ripped. That was a great song. Yeah, MASH. MASH had a good theme song too. The name of that actual song is Suicide is Painless. The MASH theme's actual theme is called Suicide is Painless. And the actual theme of Taxi is called Angela's Theme. Damon, why do you know these things? Because I'm a fountain of useless information. I am the Cliff Clavin of the world. And if you know who Cliff Clavin is, you spent a lot of time enjoying that Cheers theme song, didn't you? I told you it was a big day for TV. Fellas, you sitting down for this one? This is going to mean an awful lot. Probably not going to mean as much to the ladies watching here today, but fellas, today, in 1983, you found out that knowing was half the battle. Because today in 1983, the animated G.I. Joe miniseries based on the toys debuted in syndication. I mean, I watched every episode of G.I. Joe when I was a little kid. I don't mean to sound like I was anti-American or anti-G.I. Joe, but I really liked Cobra and their gear and Destro and Cobra Commander and the blue plane that Cobra had where you could sub out a quarter panel for a shot-up quarter panel. I thought that was cool as shit. I mean, I liked a lot of the G.I. Joe stuff too, but I the Cobra, I love Cobra. Snake Eyes. G.I. Joe today. 1983, I was 8 years old. That hit me like a bullseye. You also had the debut of Inspector Gadget. Do you remember that cartoon? Inspector Gadget debuted also today in 1983 on ABC. And then today in 1992, if you wanted to watch Saturday morning cartoons, you were done watching NBC, because today in 1992, NBC canceled their entire Saturday morning cartoon slate and they introduced us to Kelly Kapowski. And boy, I'm glad that they made that introduction. And so was my young developing libido. I mean, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, she's still got it. And when Tiffany Amber Thiessen was like 16, 17, 18 years old, that was the ultimate all-American beautiful teenage girl ever. Today, no more cartoons on NBC on Saturday morning in 1992. You got Saved by the Bell, California Dreams, NBA Inside Stuff, and Name Your Adventure, which I don't remember at all. I was out after NBA Inside Stuff ended. You know, whether that was Ahmad Rashad or Hannah Storm at that point, I was out at, I was turning off TV at the end of NBA Inside Stuff. I don't even know what Name Your Adventure was. But there you go. All children's programming ended on that network today in 1992. Today in 1994, if you wanted a little bit more sexual harassment in your family game show, you got it today when Richard Dawson returned. The former host of The Family Feud was back there to kiss your grandmother and finger your daughter. That guy made out with chicks in the middle of the game show he was hosting. The world that Richard Dawson enjoyed and lived in is certainly no longer available. Richard Dawson would slip tongue. Player, play on. I mean, good God. There's no way. Oh, I know. Look, Snake Eyes was a Joe, not a Cobra. Come on, Damon. I know I just started naming random G.I. Joes there, but I did. I like Cobra. I liked a lot of Cobra gear, but I did. I love Snake Eyes. Everyone loves Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes is the single most popular G.I. Joe action figure of all time. And what the Cobra equivalent was the shadow sort. He was like a white Snake Eyes. Shipwreck had the parrot. That's right. What is my war action figure name need? He needs a parrot. By the way, today, 2012, Apple gave us the iPhone 5 and iOS 6. Where are we now with iPhones? Where are we now with iOSs? Today is also National Chocolate Milkshake Day. Okay, I can get behind that. I love a good chocolate milkshake. Not my go-to milkshake. I think I'd prefer a vanilla, a really well-made vanilla milkshake. With like great vanilla ice cream. It's fantastic. You know, you give me any sort of like a salty chocolate, salty caramel type of shake, I'm there. I'm still a sucker for a strawberry milkshake too. And the milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Going back to the way yesterday's show ended where we talked about the shooting of Charlie Kirk. I got a lot of feedback from that, and I thank you for the feedback. Thank you for letting me know that that resonated well with you. A few people it didn't, but that's okay. The whole main point of the end of yesterday's show was it's time for us all to be more considerate and nicer to each other. And today's National Day will help you do that. It is National Hug and High Five Day. So high five someone today. Hug somebody today. Love someone today. Love a neighbor, love a friend, love an enemy. And keep doing it all weekend long. We are going to be back with a watch party live stream. Come have breakfast or brunch with us, depending on whether you're on the East Coast or here on the West Coast. But we will be live at 10 a.m. West Coast for 49ers and Saints and a watch party that goes from before the game starts to after the game ends. And I hope you plan on being a part of that. In the meantime, thank you for being a part of today's show. Thank you for being a part of this. As always, we thank our sponsors, my man Ike. I'm telling you, why don't you order one of his football collaboration sandwiches this weekend as you're getting ready for a little 49ers and Saints. You can even have that sandwich delivered to you at the Dubliner. The Dubliner is in an Ike's delivery area. I can promise you that. Go ahead, get to the Dubliner to maybe watch the games this weekend. Little 49ers and Saints, little Giants and Dodgers.
Oh, sure. That's all happening at the Dubliner, and we'll be there on October 4th at 4:20 for another Plusmania meetup. And make your plays over at Sleeper, if you would. Please check out the description in the link of this video. Click on that link. Use promo code Damon when you sign up for a $100 deposit match on your first deposit when you use promo code Damon. Sleeper, America's fastest growing fantasy app. And as soon as you go on there and you see how awesome the user interface is, you'll know why. The amount of stats and updates that you get in real time, it's really fantastic. Check it out. Check out Sleeper. And we'll let you know some of the plays we make before kickoff of 49ers and Saints when we go live at 10 a.m. Sunday morning here again on YouTube. Meanwhile, have a great Friday. Have a great Saturday. We'll see you on Sunday. Thank you so very much. Hit like, subscribe, notify. All those good things help the channel grow. And thank you for being a part of the channel's growth. It means an awful lot. Please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.